Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and Deb Evans Consulting. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
You know where you are? You're on Social Geek Radio, baby. How you doing, geeks? Good to talk to you again. Jack Munson live in Chicago and speaking today to a special guest all the way from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Do I have that right, Angela Cote?
You got it. Yep. Everybody seems to think I live in Vancouver, but I'm on Vancouver Island, but I'm in the city of Victoria. So
yes, city of Victoria. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining Social Geek Radio. I can't wait to jump into today's topic. But speaking of Victoria, that is, why don't you tell the folks about this award that I just learned about? You are the new business award winner from the Greater Victoria Chamber?
That's correct. Yep. Just last night, I was at an event for businesses in Victoria. So it's the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce. And I was a finalist for a new business award. And, you know, I was just so excited to even just be at this event with all these other inspiring businesses and people who have, you know, I've been in this community and been building this business and you know, anything I've done in the community, had these wonderful people who have supported me and you know, encouraged me to do what I'm doing, and to be there in the room with those people and other people who have created new businesses, just a super inspiring evening. So I'm on a little bit of a high right now.
That's good. Keep it going. Well, congratulations, and it's well deserved. And it looked like quite a great event with you know a lot of really smart people and you know business leaders. So
yeah, it was a great event. Yeah, high level, high profile. But no, really, all kidding aside, there's some pretty amazing business leaders there, and so it was just great to be there with them all.
Nice. Excellent. So for those of you who may not know Angela, let's jump into your story. And it kind of feels like in the franchise community, you popped onto the scene really recently. And now, you know, we tend to see you all over the place, all over social media and all of the great franchise events and conferences and so forth. But you've actually been in franchising for quite a long time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I guess I could say 35 years. Yeah. Should I jump into the story?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Well, so when I was five, my dad family founded the company M&M Food Market in Canada, and it started out as, you know, one location. It's a retail frozen food chain, or not chain at the time, of course. And we grew it over the years to almost 500 locations across Canada.
Wow.
Yeah, it became an iconic Canadian brand. So yeah, I like to think that I started my franchising career at age five, sitting in the back of the store, you know, child labor, I was putting boxes together, and then we had like stickers because my dad wanted to make the boxes look, you know, branded. So rather than, you know, having them pre-printed, it was just a more kind of economical way. He would order in these plain white boxes, and then we would put, my brother and I would put stickers on them. So
that's actually a good job for a kid. My daughter spends most of her day putting stickers on things. So productive with productive stickers. So
that's right. Yeah, I was saving them money. Didn't have to hire someone else, and they didn't have to get a babysitter. So
right, and you probably thought it was fun with all of these stickers. So
totally, yeah. And then started out there, and then I think you're probably curious about the Kelly Kebab story as well.
Yeah, what is Kelly Kebab? Tell me about.
Yeah, well, I seem to have let the cat out of the bag on this, but I used to have to dress up as Kelly Kebab at the grand openings. We used to literally get in a motorhome, like an RV, and we would pile in different family members and go to these different grand openings across the southern Ontario. That was the first area that we grew, and we had like Kelly Kebab and Susie Steak, and my brother had to put on a two tall Tex. My dad made a Texan theme because steaks and meat and I don't know. Right. We had a love for Texas. So it's kind of a weird branding story, but it was Kelly Kebab.
So are there photos of all of these childhood costumes and things? Is this, you know, something that you've shared on social, or are you holding that back?
You know what? I would love to find a photo of it. I've looked and looked and I can't find it. One funny story is one time my brother had one of these, we called them critter costumes. Mm-hmm. And my brother had one of these on and they couldn't find him. And then at one point, finally someone went looking for him because we were always sent out to wave at cars, you know, at the curb. And they found him in a ditch and he couldn't get up. Laying there. He's the quiet one of the family. So I don't think he was making too much noise. He just kind of like, well, this is better than standing and waving at cars.
So how did you get from Kelly Kebab to consulting franchises in 2018?
Well, so yeah, lots of work at different grand openings in the earlier years. And then when I finished university in the sort of late 90s, I ended up working out west, Western Canada, setting up stores, field training, field consulting. So working with franchisees to ensure, you know, compliance and help them with engagement and profitability. And I always say how funny it would have been if you think about, you know, female 20-year-old boss's daughter showing up to tell these like 60-year-old males how to run the like who had invested their life savings
to
run their business. So, yeah. You know, I learned a lot, I will say, kind of got put through the ringer and learned a lot at that point about franchisee relations. So I didn't realize how much I was learning at the time. Anyway, and then I moved over to the franchisee side on Vancouver Island. I started the chain as a multi-unit franchisee. Doing that gave me the perspective of, you know, what it actually feels like to be a franchisee. My dad actually sold the company about 4 years ago to a private equity firm. So it's even more like what it feels like to be a franchisee. Not that he gave me any special treatment because he always said, everybody's watching you and you're going to have to work harder than everyone else.
Right. Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. But had that varied kind of background of living and breathing on the franchisor side. I always say the three F's: franchisor, franchisee, and in the field, which has led me to doing what I'm doing now, and that's helping early franchisors figure out, you know, how to grow faster with making less mistakes and having to, you know, spend less money because we can fast track. And then also I work with established brands who want help with, their franchisee relations. A lot of these, we call them franchise business coaches. It was field consultant back then.
Yeah.
They're often like me. They're like these, you know, 25-year-olds that have never taken a risk in life really. And they've never owned a business and they don't really know how to relate to the franchisees. And so I help them understand that, you know, this is about compassion and there's accountability too. And, there's a lot more to it than just kind of showing them how to work their numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot more to it than just, you know, hey, let's open up, right? Hey, let's open a store. Let's put on a show. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have a line that contrary to popular belief, franchising is not turnkey. So I'm busting the myth.
Yeah, I love that.
So much more to it, right? And even as a franchisee, you know, when I was a field trainer and I had to work with, when I was working with franchisees, getting them up and running, they were like, I thought this was turnkey, you know, I thought I just walked in and it would be ready to go. Like, no, you still have to work hard. You know, it's still part of the game, working hard.
Yeah, you still have to show up every day. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, so with the consulting you're doing now, you showed me something a few weeks ago that I was absolutely amazed by. You had this sort of this physical map, or I don't know if you call it a map or a strategy guide or what you refer to it, but it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen somebody just kind of lay out. Basically everything that a franchisor and a franchisee has to do in the relationship down to the level of well, tell us a little bit more about what was on it. Because it was really down to just this very detailed level.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate the feedback and the compliments. It is a mind map. I call it the F3 because it incorporates my franchisor, franchisee, and field experience.
Okay.
So the F3 framework. And yeah, I use this when I work with clients. It guides them from everything from the business foundation, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about here because the branding side of things, business foundation and solidifying that to, you know, the legal side, you know, what's going to come up with that. And then all the things within the franchise company, like franchisee support, you know, all the ways you can support franchisees, different ways to do franchise development and the things you need to think about, that's all in there. So when I use this with early franchisors or people that are considering franchising, I see their jaw just kind of drop. They're like, whoa. A, I didn't realize there was so much involved. And B, now I have the map.
Steps. Yeah. Well, I could see someone looking at that and saying, wow, I didn't know that there was so much involved. But at the same time, you're being very transparent with them saying, look, there's a lot involved here. There's a whole lot of stuff you need to, work your way through. But here we are, yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's busting the myth.
Yeah, there you go. So let's talk a little bit about starting that business. And especially, I'm interested in how you're developing a brand for an emerging franchisor, someone who's just started. Where do you take them and say, this is what your brand needs to be, or this is what your customers will think of you as a brand? Like, how do you even start that conversation?
Such a good question, because I think so many people think that a brand is a logo, like a brand is a color scheme or a website.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's so much more, right? A brand, I am a firm believer and an ambassador of the concept of a brand starting with having a really clear purpose or mission or, vision, some different ways people call that, and core values. And so I really truly believe that, in that early stage when you're setting up the business foundation, or, you've got that one unit or one location and you want to grow, whether that's through franchising or anyway, you have to be really clear on what it is that you like, what is your purpose? I always cite Nurse Next Door, which is a Canadian franchise that's now across the U.S. as well. Were you at the John DeHart's keynote?
Keynote at the Canadian Franchise Association.
Yeah. I probably sound a little bit like him now, but he's definitely one of my mentors and people that I look up to. And their brand, they've got making lives better. That's their purpose. And everybody knows that. It's on their website. Everybody that they work with, come in contact with, whether it's, end user, franchisee, employee, or even suppliers. And this is something we did with M&M Food Market, was that everybody had to live and breathe our purpose and core values, everybody that came into contact with us. And so I think it's so important to have that as a foundation, because when you have that, you then attract people that align. And when you attract people that align, that's when the brand's really going to grow, right? Because people are happy and thriving and working all from the same, as my dad always said, the same songbook.
Our song I love sheet. That. That's perfect. That's perfect. So should the brand, along with focusing on the purpose and the mission and the core values, should the brand focus on the founder or founders, or should the founders really not be the face of the brand? What are your feelings on that?
Well, I think it's a no-brainer that the founder should be a part of the brand story and a part of the brand. The reason for that is, and you can see it all over if you go to my social media, that I not only promote this, but I walk the talk, that people love people. People want to know, who's behind the brand. When I'm looking up a business to do any kind of business with, I quite often go on the website and kind of go, who are the people behind this brand? So then it adds a whole other layer when you're talking franchising, because franchisees are investing their life savings and they want to know that they're going to be able to trust that person behind the brand. So I think it's absolutely critical. And I think you will absolutely love my example of somebody who's rocking it that does this is Ryan Smokin from Smokes Poutine.
Absolutely.
Hello, right? Yeah. He comes walking in with all his plaid on and, got his rock star look and everything going on. And people just think he's so cool and it attracts the right people for him. So that's an extreme example. But I think that, look for a story and tell the story and include that person. My dad was the face of the brand for many, many years. He was on every flyer. People knew him. Mac is his name. So it was a nice, fun name. And you know, people say, oh, how, you know, where's Mac? And, you know, like they come into the store and everybody knew that this was the founder. Even when we got to like 300 stores, he was still the name behind the brand.
Really? And that was sort of my next question is, should the founder be sort of the face of the brand throughout, or is there a point where the company or the brand gets so big that the founder, you know, kind of fades away? And, you know, I guess I'm thinking, you know, in sort of Ray Kroc terms, right? Like, is there a time when the business is so much bigger than the founder that it's time to kind of step aside, or should we always include that founder?
Well, I don't want to pretend to be an expert, but of course I'll give you my personal opinion on this.
No, please.
I 100% think that it could go on forever. Look at Colonel Sanders or Dave Thomas.
Great example.
Great example. You know, I will say my dad, so with our situation, my dad was, he was the president of the company until about, I think it was like 2005. And then he brought in a new president. And at that time, this is kind of funny, we changed from having Mac as our mascot to a penguin called Max, a little penguin, because it's a freezer, you know, frozen food.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and people were like, what? You know, what's going on here? Who's this penguin? Well, the penguin has since been phased out. And so I think, obviously it's a risk that when the founder wants to not be the face of the brand and not be the spokesperson anymore, like my dad was the spokesperson. He was on commercials and you know, doing the media and that sort of thing, even when he was at the chairman level. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's even more important as the brand grows. You know, it was so fascinating going through the growth with M&M because we went from being, you know, more of a mom pop type company to then, okay, now we're bigger and we have to act a little different. And but I think if you could keep that founder as the face of the brand, it would help, you know, help keep the trust that we're still the same brand. And even for the franchisees.
Yeah, it's so funny you mentioned Kentucky Fried Chicken, because I just had this mental image of Ryan from Smokes 60 years from now, a cartoon version of him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it won't be long. Yeah.
You know, just like Kentucky Fried Chicken or something like that. So
yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Perfect example. So what's a good way to get this new brand out in front of potential candidates, and maybe at the same time, some potential customers in a short amount of time? You know, most emerging brands don't have a lot of money and they don't have a lot of time to succeed. So you've got to get that brand out in front of some candidates right away. Is there a certain channel or a certain road that you're taking people down right now that sort of shortens that amount of time for them?
Absolutely. So I would say, I'm going to reiterate, I know it's not rocket science, but really having first making sure that you have that strong brand foundation so that people, like a confused mind always says no. So yeah. when they're clear, right? When people are clear on what it is about your brand, what sets you apart, you know, even things like having your unit economics and your target market clearly defined on a both B2C and B2B level, you know, starting with I'm you know, working with my companies that I work with to really make sure, let's get this foundation strong so that when, and in the meantime, I mean, we are talking about, you know, if people are inquiring about becoming a franchisee or anything like that, I mean, we're not waiting. We're going to keep working on that in the background, but we'll make sure that we're strong before we go big. But then I wanted to say, you know, people underestimate the value of exposure. I've seen this in where companies don't, you know, franchisor founders don't understand, and I know you'll get this because you're at all the events, they don't understand the value of just being at events.
Yeah.
Like they think, yeah, okay, I'll go if it's a show. Oh, but it's a conference. There's no show. There's just, you know, networking and education. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to skip that one. And I think, you know, yeah, you might not get a direct, you know, prospective candidate for franchising, but the more people in the franchise industry that know about you, the more likely it is that they'll talk about you. And then, you know, as you grow, they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that brand, you know? So I think people really underestimate the value of exposure. And so some examples of exposure, again, this is not rocket science. It's going to sound kind of obvious, but of course, social media, events, like I said, not just standing at a booth at a show, but actually, you know, at a conference and mingling and talking to people. You know, and then there's the other thing I got to throw in is do unconventional things. And Ryan Smokin with Smokes is a great example of that. But I have a really good example too of how my dad did that with M&M back in the day. And of course this is before social media, before websites or anything like that. There's two things that stand out. One of them is he went and bought 100 pumpkins around Halloween, went and bought 100 pumpkins.
Okay.
And he brought them to the local school, one of the local nearby schools. And keeping in mind that our target market is families, mm-hmm. So he brought them to one of the nearby elementary schools and had the kids carve them. And then he brought them back and put them out on the boulevard in front of the store. Well, guess what happened?
Everybody wanted to go see their pumpkin.
Right. And yeah. Then the people also driving by were like, what's up with all those pumpkins? Yeah. Let's go see what's going on. So, you know, it brings the right people into the store. The other really cool story is that he would buy or get from the suppliers he was dealing with the really fattiest, you know, junkiest bacon ends. And he would put them, on a barbecue in front of the store and burn them. And it would create this like smoke and fire.
And smell, right? And like the smell. Whole neighborhood had to smell like bacon. Oh, beautiful. Totally.
And so he would do that. And so people would stop their car and come in or you know, be walking by and go, oh, you guys know that something's burning on your barbecue? Like they would literally just leave it out front. And they'd go, my dad would say, yeah, we know that. We actually just did that to get you in the store. Now that you're in the store, can we show you these great products we right. have?
How about some bacon?
Here's some bacon. Exactly. Yeah. So he always said, you know, we just wanted to get people to put the brakes on. So
yeah.
Pumpkins and the fatty bacon ends. So I think people, you know, get stuck in this mode of the traditional, like, how do you build a business? And like, what's the textbook approach? And we have to step back. And I mean, even with franchise recruitment, I think so many people are missing it when they don't just, I mean, just go make a video of the founder. Like I'm doing that with a couple of my franchisors. Let's just make a video of you. And you just go on and say, hey, we're growing. This is what we're doing. And you know, people love people. So I think I'm kind of big on that sort of just go for it, you know, just do it and tweak it as you go.
Yeah. And I love that idea of just being present, whether it's at industry functions or, you know, other things in your community, just being there. I think there are too many small business owners that think, well, you know, we're going to hire an agency to do this thing for us. And then that's just going to be on autopilot. And it's like, no, you got to show up. You got to be there. You got to be out at the meetings and in the clubs and the people and that kind of thing, you know, shaking hands and making connections, because you never know who that next connection you make is. Exactly. Somebody down the road is really going to help you.
I've seen that a lot where somebody I met, you know, a few months later, they reach out and they go, oh, I know somebody that wants to franchise their business or has started franchising. And I'm like, where did we meet again?
Right. Oh yeah.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. They're, you know, they remembered me and a quick, you know, I know a lot of people shy away from networking and all that. And I think it's just easier than people think. I think if you have a couple of good kind of starter lines, like, you know, oh, you know, have you been to this conference before, or you know, how's your day been? Like people just have a line ready and you'll get the conversation going.
Yeah. I, you know, my favorite thing at, and you know, we kind of do it here on the show, but my favorite thing at a conference is I'll just walk up to somebody and say, so tell me your story. Mm-hmm. And they kind of look at me like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you got to have a story.
Yeah. Oh, tell me whatever you want.
I don't have much of a story. I'm like, oh, you're a emerging franchisor. I'll tell you what, you have a story.
Yeah.
What is it? Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, everybody's got a story about how they started or their brand or something like that. And if you ask people their story, give them 2 minutes and you're going to, you know, now you've got a connection and you're going to learn everything you need to know about those people. So
yeah, it makes it way more fun for.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's a great tip. Go to the networking things, go to the conferences and, you know, just talk to people.
Trust it. Trust that it'll come back.
You
won't feel it right away. It's an investment and people just, they don't see the value because they're looking for like the direct, but it's an investment into the longer term.
Yeah. I think too, you have to see where people are spending their time. That's the ultimate proof of what's important to them. So if they are spending time networking, going to conferences, learning, you know, trying to develop their brand, talking to experts, then guess what? They're going to win someday. The people who don't invest that time and just kind of sit back and expect something to go on autopilot, they're not going to win. So,
exactly. I'm with you on that.
Excellent. So we only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure that any of our listeners that have some additional questions for you or would like to learn a little bit more about your process and some of the things that you're doing, where can we send those folks?
Yeah, well, thanks for that. I'll just give the simple one would be my email is angela@angelacote.com. So that's COTE. But I love connecting with people on social media. So LinkedIn and Facebook are probably the two best to reach me. But I'm also kind of on the other ones as well. But yeah, I'd love to connect with people and help out in any way I can.
Awesome. And we will put those LinkedIn and website connections on the Social Geek Radio website and Facebook page as well, along with this program. So the award-winning Angela Cote, thanks so much for joining Social Geek Radio today.
Well, does this mean I'm officially a social geek now?
You are definitely a geek. You've always been social. Now you're a geek.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for having me. It's been super fun.
All right. Thanks so much. And good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.